SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Lisi and I told you yesterday that conference realignment was not done in college sports, that conference realignment would continue. And then after we get off the show, Joe, what happens? We get the report from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports that the Big 12 is in serious discussions to add six new teams to its conference. Those six schools include Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, Washington. Play in the Pac-12, Joe, but as we know, the Pac-12 does not look like it does today as it did just a few weeks back.
You know what's interesting to me, Ben, is when these discussions go down and we say the Big 12 is looking to add six teams from the Pac-12. So what is the Pac-12 commissioner doing? Just sitting there? Is he involved in these discussions, allowing the other six teams to just go, bye, I'll talk to you later? Because somebody is not being proactive, right? The Pac-12 just lost their two biggest schools in UCLA and USC, and all of a sudden they're just sitting back on their hands. They're making TV or media rights deals, but the other six teams are going out the back door potentially to the Big 12 and really solidifying that conference as potentially maybe being the third super conference in terms of college football. So I got to credit the Big 12 right now. They are looking big picture. And I have to be honest, I think that if they did add those teams, when you say Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State, I mean, the conference as a whole will be competitive. Now, I don't know if we'll have a leader to potentially challenge for a national championship, but I'll tell you what, each and every Saturday, you're going to get viewable games, and that's what matters in terms of revenue dollars to these conferences and schools, respectively.
It is a great point, Joe, because at the end of the day, any of the conference realignment moves that we see, much to the chagrin maybe of fans of these programs, is not for a competitive edge. It is not to be in a league that maybe you can then dominate, win the conference championship, and go play in the college football playoff. That doesn't really have anything to do with conference realignment. It is about TV revenue and rights and the money, the large, substantial amounts of money that come from that. That is why USC and UCLA are joining the Big Ten in 2024. That is why Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC as of now in 2025. Because of those TV rights deals and because of the big revenue that stems from those contracts. And that iteration, Joe, of the Big 12 with those potential 18 teams is, at least in my opinion, attractive to TV networks. No, it's not huge brand names like we have seen in the SEC or in the Big 10. But Utah has a fervent fan base, as does Oregon. You still have the base of Texas within the Big 12 who has been very aggressive, Joe, in this conference realignment shakeup, and you have to credit what they have done after their premier programs, Texas and OU, departed for the SEC.
Yeah, there's quality teams in the Big 12 right now. Let's not forget, Oklahoma State played for a Big 12 championship. So did Baylor, right? At the end of the day, both of those teams were in the top 10 at the end of the season. So you look at those two teams and you say, okay, you add a team like Iowa State that's very blue-collar and Matt Campbell. How about Texas Tech? You know, the Pac-12 is where they have to step in and really play more competitive football outside of Utah. Arizona State with Herm Edwards hasn't lived up to expectations. Arizona now with a second-year head coach, they played more competitive. But outside of those teams, Oregon, they get the victory over Ohio State and then fall off a cliff in two games back-to-back against the Utes. So where is the consistency? As long as the Pac-12 can bring, and what I mean when I say Pac-12 is those other six teams can bring the consistency from week to week into the Big 12, I'm going to be watching each and every Saturday, Ben, because I have to admit, it's a deep defensive-minded league now, and that's what wins football games and, more importantly, championships.
That's the conference competitive standpoint, of course, but this all ties in to conference realignment and the evolving face, as we know it, of college sports, because that has to do with your prestige, with the notoriety, with what viewership you can garner, and then, of course, leading to the TV rights revenue that stems from that. But the Big 12, Joe, although nothing has been officially done as of yet, when we got the news about the Big 10 last week, adding USC and UCLA, that was done in about 6 hours from the initial report to the time later that afternoon, early evening, Big Ten League presidents and chancellors voted and approved the membership of USC and UCLA. Nothing has even reached that point yet for the Big 12 and these potential former Pac-12 teams, but they are in aggressive conversations, and it certainly seems like it is heading that way. But it's not just these six schools, Joe, from the Pac-12. After Texas and Oklahoma gave us the news of last summer that caused a seismic shift in college sports, that they were leaving the Big 12. The flag bearers of that conference, Joe, as we had known, the biggest brand names, the Big 12 was rightfully miffed, but they went out and did something about it, adding Houston, adding Cincinnati, adding UCF, adding BYU, and now potentially expanding again. We'll continue to get into these conversations as long as we can here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I think we're coming up on a break. I'm not entirely sure. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle continues here on a Wednesday, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi, and conference realignment continues to change the shape of college sports as we know it. Reports yesterday from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports that the Big 12 is in serious discussions with six schools that currently play in the Pac-12 to now join the Big 12. Those six schools, once again, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Utah. That with coupled, Joe, with USC and UCLA from last week, either approved or reported very likely that it will happen, eight schools of the 12 that currently play in the Pac-12 could be on their way out of the conference in the coming years, which leaves the Pac-12 where?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely nowhere. They're going to be relegated to a group of five conference if they're still in existence. And that's what I say in terms of, that's great that they're going out to lobby for the media rights this year and maybe in 2023. But what does that do for you long term? What does that do for you if these six teams jump to the Big 12 or another conference right now? They're not proactively really handling their business in terms of the teams that are within their conference. If they were, maybe these teams would be looking to stay, but they have no game plan whatsoever. They're following the lead of other conferences, and they're really behind the eight ball. They're the tail, not the head. That's the problem right now. It's like, okay, if you lose these six teams, what do you have right now? You have Oregon State, you have Washington State, you have Cal. Oh, that's great. What does that give you? That you're basically looking at a strategic partnership with the Mountain West, because that just makes sense to go with teams like Boise and Colorado State and obviously those schools in the Mountain West Conference. But that's not going to elevate your team or your conference to an elite type of standing, especially in media rights. You're going to be on CBS Sports Line watching games at 10:30 at night, just like they are now on streaming. What does that do for you? So I don't understand what the mindset is in terms of big picture. They are not going going to exist anymore. That's just the bottom line. After this year, I'm going to put it on. They're not going to exist because these other schools are going to make a jump. Utah's in the national limelight. Oregon is as well in the sense of at least they were there top 10. So what are you going to do now, 2023 and beyond? They're not going to want to stay with the Pac-12 that has no game plan to elevate this conference to an elite status.
And let's not mince words here. Joe Lisi is completely right. If these six schools, along with USC and UCLA, are no longer members of the Pac-12 in the next 2 to 3 years, there will be no conference known as the Pac-12 moving forward. Because the four schools that remain, as of right now, Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, and Cal are all currently looking to get out as well. You have no doubt about that. Stanford has already been rumored to be a potential Big Ten suitor, maybe to join with Notre Dame to give them that even number of 18 following the acquisition of sorts of USC and UCLA. And let's not mince words about why the Pac-12 is here. George Kliavkoff is the new commissioner of the Pac-12 Conference. He took over last summer. He's been on the job, Joe, for just over a year. What an anniversary it has been the last couple of days. And this is not all his fault by any realm of the imagination. However, you could focus on one man, former Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, whose brainchild was the Pac-12 networks that flamed out so poorly they are not even picked up by many major cable networks and providers, and a lot of your streaming services, ergo a YouTube TV, Hulu Live, all of that stuff across the country. It was one of the more detrimental moves in the history of college sports from a media rights contract perspective, and Larry Scott, who would spend opals of money on Pac-12 headquarters in San Francisco, lost the league a ton of money and thus credibility. So the Pac-12 is in this position because they trail other major conferences in college sports in terms of that TV rights revenue. But where George Kliavkoff might have slightly erred, Joe, and it might not have been all of his decision because he was on the job maybe for a month at this point, after Texas and Oklahoma departed the Big 12, or they were planning to depart the Big 12 last summer to join the SEC in 2025, we felt a similar way we do about the Pac-12 now that we did last summer about the Big 12, that they were floundering. How would they keep their heads above water? Maybe the Big 12 and the Pac-12 could find some coordination. The Pac-12 released a statement at that time: we are not interested in investing in expansion at the moment. And I think that decision, Joe Lisi, has cost the Pac-12 and has kept them where they are currently.
And I'm sure UCLA and USC heard that and said, you know what? We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to expand. We're not going to increase our revenue. And we're not going to get the exposure for our student athletes that we feel we deserve when other conferences like the Big 12 and SEC are just stepping up each and every week, right? So that was probably what led to this move by UCLA and USC over the past month or so to say, you know what? We need to be proactive. Our commissioner, our conference doesn't have our best interest in mind as it relates to a football perspective or a sport perspective. And we know what that means, Ben, right? College football, college basketball. Everything else is insignificant when it comes to TV revenue and marketing and sponsorship dollars. So they knew that in order for them to get back to the front, the forefront, the way they were under Pete Carroll, and I'm talking about, you know, the way they were under Kay McNown in 1998 with Bob Toledo at the helm, to put them into the national spotlight each and every week, that we're talking about West Coast teams. They're not an afterthought. UCLA and USC made the move because they felt that the commissioner and, more importantly, Larry Scott was asleep at the wheel because the Pac-12 network was a complete joke. It still is. The fact that it just, I can't believe that you start your conference and you just want to keep it to yourself. They didn't try to elevate it. They didn't try to give it any type of media exposure for their student athletes. It was a complete fail. And at the end of the day, it's on Scott, and now it's on the conference as a whole. They only look at themselves in the mirror because they did this to all the schools within the conference.
And the idea itself is not bad. We saw resounding success for the Big Ten Network, the first of a Power Five high major conference that was sponsored and started for the network as a whole, obviously a partnership with Fox, but at the time, the Big Ten was the majority stakeholder. Now Fox has the majority of the Big Ten Network. That being said, it has led to success. It has led to large amounts of revenue for the conference as a whole. And frankly, Joe, it has led to the position the Big Ten finds itself in right now, that there are reports that their upcoming TV rights deal, most likely with Fox, is the reason we are seeing conference realignment. That the networks, being Fox and Disney/ESPN, have reshaped college sports. ESPN with the SEC, Fox with the Big Ten, because of the money that is reported to have already happened or might be happening very, very soon. And that is why the Pac-12 finds itself in this situation, because the Big Ten and the SEC are starting to separate themselves, Joe, as the Power Two in the Big 12 is trying to keep their seat at the table. And the Big 12 is doing a really good job of that. But the inability for the Pac-12 to look into seriously considering expansion last summer, I think, has played a part in this as well. It's expand or die right now for college sports. That is where we stand here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. We'll continue to have this conversation because we'll talk about the successes of the Big 12, where this places them in the realm of the college sports landscape alongside the Big 10 and the SEC. But what does it mean for the rest of the formerly Power Five? What does the ACC do? What does the Pac-12 do? What does this mean for the AAC or the Mountain West or some of these smaller conferences around the country? We'll continue that conversation up next here on Football Full Circle, the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Welcome back to Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network, live here on this Wednesday, Sirius XM, channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Our conversation surrounding conference realignment has not even come close to stopping here on FFC, because conference realignment has not come close to stopping across all of college sports. Pertaining to the Big 12 and the reports yesterday, that conference is looking to add six new schools, all currently playing within the Pac-12. Oregon, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, and Washington. Joe, we just had the discussion. Why is the Pac-12 here? Where does it leave the Pac-12? In fact, if these six schools and USC and UCLA are all out of the conference in the coming years, the Pac-12 will cease to exist. But let's highlight what the Big 12 has done here, because the Big 12 was in a similar scenario this time last year. That time, the bombshell was across college sports, Texas and Oklahoma, the flag bearers, the standards of the Big 12 conference were on their way to the SEC starting in 2025. Where did that leave the Big 12? Just trying to keep their heads above water. We felt bad for Bob Bowlesby and that conference, but now with a new commissioner in place and Brett Yormark, who will start here in just a few days for the Big 12, they have already made moves, not just the reported six new schools yesterday, but adding the likes of UCF, BYU, Houston, and Cincinnati starting next summer, July 1st, 2023. They have been open to expansion. They have seen it as a means of survival. And now, Joe, outside of the SEC and the Big Ten, they might be the most thriving conference in all of college sports.
They might be, and they have some good teams in there, right? We talked about Oklahoma State and Baylor. You have Iowa State. You have West Virginia still in the mix. And you talk about the teams that they have added. Cincinnati and Houston squared off in terms of the AAC championship game. BYU with Zach Wilson a couple of years ago, you know, just catapulted onto the national stage. They were a bowl team last year with 10 wins. So they have really solidified the conference with good quality football teams. UCF as well. Let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago they claimed they were the national champions of college football with Danny White, their AD, right? Not too long ago. So we're going to have competitive football from the Big 12. You sprinkle in those other teams in terms of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, national team last year. They knocked off Notre Dame in terms of the bowl game, come from behind victory. Baylor with Dave Aranda. So when you look at the big picture, you say, okay, 16 teams now in this conference, potentially 14, 16. Now we add another four or five to the mix. They're going to have more, at least right now, early on, than the Big Ten and SEC combined, right, with 16 teams each. They're going to have life in 2024 and beyond. So I'm not worried about the Big 12. I am worried about the Pac-12 and who do they or those four teams latch onto. Outside the Mountain West, the only, I want to say, realistic shot is the ACC and what teams are going to be left there with Clemson probably bolting and Florida State and Miami as well. Maybe they latch on, but from a logistical standpoint, does it make sense for those four teams to play, you know, across country each and every Saturday? I don't know, Ben.
They're going to have no choice, in my opinion, Lisey. Oregon State, Washington State, yes, the pairings with the Mountain West make a ton of sense. Maybe the ACC comes calling some of the smaller conferences, but that is where they are left right now. We will have to see what Stanford does. Stanford was rumored at a time, based on its academic accreditation, to be a potential Big Ten target. Could Cal fall in that similar vein? Potentially so. We shall see. But further reporting yesterday, Joe, about what the Pac-12 might do right now. Because you bring up a great point. The Big 12, if these six schools go and join their conference, with the four that they will add starting next summer on July 1st, after losing Texas and Oklahoma, would have 18. That would give the Big 12 more than the Big 10 and the SEC at this point. Both schools, or both conferences rather, with 14 schools at the moment. USC, UCLA join the Big 10. That's 16. Texas and OU join the SEC. That's 16 as well. But we expect, Joe, just given the nature of what we are seeing right now, both the Big Ten and the SEC to not stop their expansion here. Notre Dame for the Big Ten, Clemson, Florida State, Miami potentially for the SEC. A school to keep an eye on is North Carolina as well, potentially for both conferences as things have stood at the moment. So if those schools, Joe, like Clemson and Florida State and Miami, are already seriously considering a move, and they might be looking at the SEC, where does that leave the ACC? Further reporting, as I indicated yesterday, the Pac-12 and the ACC have started very loose conversations about a loose relationship that would bind the two conferences together. Think the alliance between the Big Ten, Pac-12, and the ACC from this past year that maybe, as reporting indicated from CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, they would look to play their championship game in Las Vegas as a way to build some luster for that title game and maybe entice ESPN into spending more money on a TV rights package. We'll see exactly if that moves the needle, but that's the idea now, Joe, that maybe those four remaining teams in the Pac-12 or whoever is left standing with whoever is left in the ACC, they try to form some relationship. Maybe they form a conference themselves. Who knows? But that is where we are right now in conference realignment.
You're absolutely right. But you know what the problem is of these remaining teams that we talk about in terms of the Pac-12 and the ACC respectively right now, Ben? They lack zeal. They lack tradition. I mean, go back to Oregon State. I love Oregon State. When Mike Riley was there with Matt Moore and Evanston and Bernard, they had great uniforms and a great play. They went to the Sun Bowl and played Missouri. But outside of that, where is the tradition, okay, of Oregon State Beaver football? Go back to the early part of the decade. back a 2000, right, with Ocho Cinco and when they knocked off Notre Dame. It doesn't go back 40, 50 years where you just think Oregon State is the pillar of college football, right? You don't think Keith Jackson and Oregon State back in the day. Same thing with Washington State. They had the one-hit wonder with Ryan Leaf back in 1998, and then it was a while before they felt their footing with Tim Rosenbach. I mean, those were the story days of Washington State Cougar football. Same thing now with Wake Forest, Louisville, Boston College, and Pitt. I mean, Dan Marino ain't walking on that field. Alex Van Pelt. I mean, Kenny Pickett, great. But at the end of the day, is Kenny Pickett known from a national perspective in terms of college football last year? Absolutely not. Same thing with Sam Hartman, Louisville. All right, great. Lamar Jackson. Boston College, Doug Flutie. But it doesn't go back decades where you think dominance. That's why they're at a significant disadvantage, because who wants these teams? It's like, okay, I could have USC and UCLA, or I could have Oregon State and Washington State. What do you think the TV networks are going to want to do? They want the storied programs. They don't care how bad they are. So that's where we're at right now. And you know what? Right. They need to get on their horse, because I don't know what's going to happen. They might be independents before we know it.
And Joe, that's the sad thing, I think, about all this conference realignment we are seeing here. I think, not to toot our own horn or pat ourselves on the back too strongly here, but I think one of the things we try to do well on this show is provide context. And we've tried to do that for all of this conference realignment talk within the last week or so, talking about the Big Ten adding USC and UCLA and painting the reality of college athletics. The reality is TV money. The reality is new TV deals. The reality is rights revenue off of that. That is what is leading to conference realignment. But what a lot of people love about college sports and college football specifically is the regionality, is the tradition, is the history, those quirky rivalries among you and your most bitter foe a state over that mean more to you than who ends up winning the national championship. There is beauty in that, and that is what we love about college sports. And just based on where conference realignment is going and how some schools and potentially some entire conferences might be left in the dust, Joe, that is the sad reality of what we are seeing. It is a reality forced by TV deals and all of the money that comes with it. We understand that, but where it leaves the others on the outside looking in, if you are not primely positioned within the Big Ten, SEC, or maybe now even the Big 12, you are going to feel like you can't get into the party, and that is a tough spot to be in.
Especially for Power 5 teams, right? You're thinking like teams like Cincinnati and Boise State and UCF had a fight to get through the door, right? And they never thought that Boston College, Louisville, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Oregon State, if they went 12-0, would have to fight for their dear life to potentially crack the college football playoff, whatever that might look like in 3 to 4 years. So that's where we're at right now, because they're definitely going to have to fight. They're going to have to schedule off the hook over the next 2 to 3 years to give them a strength of schedule to compete with the big boys. When you look at these two conferences or three conferences right now, Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12, where they stand, because top to bottom, they are head and shoulders above where the ACC is right now and where the remaining Pac-12 teams are, you know, after next season. So we'll see how it plays out, Ben, because there needs to be a proactive approach. But I can't even think of a realistic approach for these other teams like Oregon State, Washington State. What do they do outside the Mountain West? What do they do? If they go to the ACC, great. But if Clemson, Miami, and Florida State aren't there, what does it matter? Right.
And I think that's the point, right? And that's the sad reality. Truly, that's the sad reality, because we're not talking competition. We're not talking how does your league stack up against another from that competition standpoint at times. We're talking about, are you attractive enough to these TV networks to garner in a rights deal to keep your conference running? We'll continue that conversation up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The thing we will remind you about here constantly on Football Full Circle, on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159, as I am Ben Stevens and he is Joe Lisi, the one thing we will always remind you of as it pertains to college football and college sports at large, it is the idea of blending things, compartmentalization, that you have the reality of what is currently happening in the present, blended with the storied past and tradition and history that we love in college sports, with the idea of the ever-evolving landscape of the future. And we are seeing that play out in a big way here over the last 5 or 6 days in college athletics and conference realignment, starting to reshape the country as we know it from a college athletics standpoint. Of course, last week, the Big Ten bombshell of adding USC and UCLA for 2024 has sent ripple effects through the country in the last couple of days, with the Big 12 now being aggressive, trying to add 6 schools from the Pac-12. What does that mean for the Pac-12? What could it all mean as conference realignment certainly is not slowing down anytime soon? What could it mean for the ACC as well? And I think Joe Lisi, in that most recent segment, did a great job of laying it out. We are not taking shots at your favorite school. We are not taking shots at your favorite fan base. But there is the reality of the situation. I think incredibly highly of a school like Oregon State. I think Louisville's football program has its own niche there in Louisville, Kentucky. I could bring it to my alma mater, Joe Lisi, and that being Syracuse University. And at this time of conference realignment, it is a scary and often bleak-seeming future for schools like that. Because what do you garner in terms of media rights attention on the national level that is super enticing and or attractive to these TV networks if you don't have some of the big names left in your conference? Those premier programs that really, when it comes to college football, rue the day. That is where we stand right now. What seems to be the leftovers, and that is the sad side of what we are seeing with the reality of conference realignment at the present.
It really is, and I'm just looking at the teams in the AAC right now, outside the ones that are going to jump, and it really is disheartening. Memphis, Navy, Temple, SMU, USF, Tulane, all great programs in terms of great quality football, but right, it doesn't elevate them in terms of, you know, national perspective. And mm-hmm. I'll give love out to Louisville. I've been a Louisville fan even before Petrino, but when you go back to the days of Stephon LaFleur's, Eric Ooh. Shelton, Lionel Gates. I mean, I was at the game in 2006 yeah. where they lost to Rutgers. But, I mean, just pageantry and obviously Lamar Jackson and now Malik Cunningham not taking shots at your program in any capacity. It's just that when we look at it in yeah. terms of survival, 2-3 years down the road, not just from a TV perspective, but how do these teams capitalize? And more importantly, if they do run the table, how do they have a seat at the big table in terms yeah. of the college football playoff? How can you do that with these type of schools that are left over? It's almost like, I forget what Carver called them, the misfit toys. That's what yeah. that's what we're dealing with right now. It's like the land of misfit toys because they don't have elite status. They're good programs, but we don't know what to do with them. So, right. And I don't know what to do with them. I can't even think of a logistic, realistic approach where those four remaining teams in the Pac-12, Oregon State, Wash State, Cal, Stanford, latch onto a conference outside the Mountain West and say, okay, now we're a Power 5 conference because we have elevated our stature. They're taking a significant step backwards. Right. They're regressing, and that falls on former Commissioner Larry Scott, and that falls on the current administration in the Pac-12 now. Even love it or hate it, he's there a year, but he needed to take a proactive approach, and yep. obviously he hasn't done that up until this point.
And Lisi, that's a really good point. That's a really good way of trying to describe it as easily as possible. Here's how I would do it. If you add a team like Washington State, if you add that school to your conference and you go bring that pitch to a TV network, hey guys, we got the Cougs, the TV network is not going to offer you any additional amount of money. That's the sad reality of it. They might be a benefit from a competition standpoint. They might be a benefit from a perspective standpoint. But in terms of the rights revenue that Wazoo is going to garner, it is not going to be an increase if they join your conference. And that's to say that right now the Mountain West has TV rights deals. The AAC has TV rights deals. It's not to say that the Pac-12, whatever it looks like now, or a partnership of the ACC and the Pac-12, is not going to get some copious amounts of millions of dollars, but they are not going to be at the level of the SEC that currently has a $3 billion deal with ESPN and Disney on the horizon starting in 2023. And that was before Texas and Oklahoma joined. And now that we expect schools like Clemson and Florida State to start those serious conversations to jump to the SEC as well, that contract is going to need to be renegotiated. The Big Ten's deal is up in 2022 at the end of this college sports season. It was already reported before USC and UCLA that the new deal would pay out the Big Ten Conference $1.1 billion on an annual basis, and that was before USC and UCLA, and that was before the idea of Notre Dame no longer being independent and maybe joining a conference was floated out there. That is the level of money that can separate conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC from the rest of the pack in college football and in college sports. And that is where we are now. The Power Five that doesn't really feel like a Power Five, trending toward a Power Two, maybe a Power Two with a 2A in terms of the Big 12, but it leaves conferences like the ACC and the Pac-12 from the former Power Five in the dust and only hurts the Group of Five even more. It will change the landscape of college sports. And that's the point we get across here, Lisi.
And I feel bad for the SI directors and the coaches of Oregon State, Wash State, Cal, and Stanford. David Shaw, yep, even though he's regressed over the past few years, 11 and 19 overall his last three seasons. Think about this for a second, because we haven't even touched on it. The potential recruits that are going or have committed to these schools already, and now this news breaks out. If you're sure, if you're a student athlete that's committed for 2023 to Oregon State or Wash State, are you going to want to go there? They might not even be in a conference in a year. Why would you even commit? If you're, let's say you're the top recruit for Oregon State or those four teams, why would you even want to commit? Go to the Big 12, go to the ACC, go to a conference that's at least going to be there right now. SEC, Big 12, see if you could walk on. I mean, I wouldn't commit right now unless I'm an absolute love with one of those universities. I can't imagine the attrition that's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 months with these kids bolting. So now that's another disadvantage that the conference is already, and obviously USC and UCLA have put on the bottom half of these teams right now. It's up against it in terms of finding a home for a conference. And on top of it, they're going to be losing players at a clip.
Yep. I think it's a fantastic point, especially with the ever-evolving landscape that is not just TV rights revenue and conference realignment in college sports, but NIL. Name, image, and likeness. Because a lot of slights have been given toward the way, Joe, of Missouri in Vanderbilt in the SEC or in the Big Ten, my neck of the woods, New Jersey's college team in Rutgers. Why should these teams that might win two football games a year be able to reap the rewards of a huge TV rights contract that their conferences are paid out? But why wouldn't a young student athlete, potentially a football player, want to go to a school like Vanderbilt, maybe over a school like Washington State, despite the fact that Wazoo could win more football games and might be a better path than a Vanderbilt team that's gone winless in SEC play in years past? Why would you want to go to Vanderbilt over Washington State from a competition standpoint if you're just going to get run over by the likes of Florida, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia on a weekly basis? Here's why you go. Because Vanderbilt gets an even share of that TV rights revenue that's paid out to the SEC. The same even share that Alabama garners just from being in the conference. And all of that TV rights money can lead to NIL deals with a specific university, within a specific community for those marketing type deals, or as we are seeing now, Joe, things that look a lot more similar to pay for play. That's why you would choose to go to a Rutgers or a Vanderbilt or a Maryland or all that it might be, even if the competition is harder for you or you are not having as much success on the actual playing field. All of that will have a cause and effect to each other. And that is the reality of where we stand right now. I will give Rutgers, though, a little bit of foresight. It's the same foresight I give to Missouri and Texas A&M for leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC. They saw the evolving landscape of college sports. And whether you think they're deserving of it or not, they're laughing in your face with a $100 million TV rights check. That's the reality of the situation. Fans don't love it because it should be about the equity of competition, that everybody has a fair shake at competing for the highest prize or winning football games on a weekly basis or having opportunities in other sports to have a shot at a league championship. That's what fans want. That's what players want. That's what we desire in college sports. But when it comes from the university and athletic department perspective, a lot of that is also tied into where is our money coming from? Oh, we can be a part of the Big Ten that's going to get $1 billion a year from Fox, and we get the same equal share that Ohio State gets? Yeah, that sounds pretty attractive to me as well.
Yeah, and it hurts the local businesses as well. That's a great point, Ben, because think about the businesses in Corvallis, in Pullman, that have maybe tied NIL deals to their student athletes as well. They're going to be hurt from this deal because they're no longer going to be part of the Pac-12. That exposure for those schools and universities and those student athletes, you're absolutely right. They're going to bolt. Hey, why would I play at Washington State where I don't even know where the future is, and I'm just throwing Wash State out there, when I could go and go and play in the SEC? I'll get national exposure. I'll get my money. I'll get my NIL type of deal. And at the end of the day, I'll see if I can make the jump to the National Football League. That's what it's about. And right now, these four teams, I don't know what happens to them because it is a residual effect. Think about this. It's a domino effect. The football program gets hurt. The basketball program gets hurt. All of a sudden, the crew and water polo teams get hurt if they have it for those four teams. The women's softball team gets hurt. Everybody gets hurt from USC and UCLA making the move and the jump to the Pac-12 because the conference now is in shambles.
And that's a great, great point, because we saw that report yesterday, Lisi, as all of this is playing out between the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and following the news last week that UCLA and USC set to join the Big Ten in 2024. We saw a report from the LA Times, a deep dive exclusive, that UCLA was very cash-strapped and was at the strong possibility of having to consider getting rid of sports, getting rid of programs in its athletic department because of how debt-laden they were. And thus, joining the Big Ten and having a huge TV rights revenue check could be a way of saving some of their programs. Now, let's not say boo-hoo for UCLA and great job and commend them for doing that, but that is the reality, that at times that plays as much of a part into these decisions as does the competition level as well. A couple more minutes left here on Football Full Circle. Come back after the break and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A couple of more minutes left here on Football Full Circle, live on this Wednesday on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Lisi, it seems like at any point throughout the last week or so, any moment you go to your phone to check social media, you will see or have the possibility of seeing an update as it pertains to conference realignment and the landscape of college sports. I expect that to continue here over the next couple of weeks in college athletics around the country prior to media days getting underway in just about 2.5-3 weeks time, and then we focus on the actual competition on the field. But I don't think we're done just yet in those conference realignment updates.
No, we're not done yet, Ben. And let me ask you this question. I'll throw it back at you. You think by the time we get conference media days, Notre Dame will have latched on to a major conference, either the Big Ten or the SEC, in the next 2 to 3 weeks? That is the golden egg.
It is. It is such a good question, Lisi. I don't think, personally, that any of those three commodities, Notre Dame, the institution itself, the Big Ten Conference, or the SEC, is necessarily in any rush to make a move on one another because of how closely tied those three parties will be in this entire situation. So, no. I'm going to say no. I do not expect Notre Dame to be a member of the SEC or Big Ten by the time we get to July 24th or so in the start of media days around the country.
Here's a deeper question, though, Ben. I will say this.
Uh-oh.
The longer that teams hesitate, and that's including Notre Dame, even though they're the Golden Goose, puts more pressure on their coach, Marcus Freeman, to keep that momentum rolling, being 11-1, being 10-2, and being in the national spotlight. So keep an eye out as the season wears on.
Certainly so. I think it's a great point as well, Lisi. But Notre Dame as the institution, acting as an independent, always carries weight in college sports. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. This was Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. The Money Line is up next.